This is Ozarks at Large. 2021 isn't even 100 hours old yet, and it is already providing a month's worth of news. And there is certainly more to come. Politically, there was that phone call from the president this weekend asking an election official in Georgia to find votes. Today, the control of the United States Senate hangs in the balance as two Georgia senators are selected by voters. Tomorrow, the Congress takes the final, the latest final, step toward the next presidency. And in Arkansas, the next edition of the Arkansas General Assembly prepares to meet during a pandemic that is surging throughout the state. For their first conversation of 2021, John Brummett and Roby Brock tackle these issues. Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, and Roby Brock is with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. Roby began the discussion, recorded yesterday, focusing on that phone call from President Trump.
This tape is to Trump, this audio tape. And how does it change the dynamic, do you think, as we head into this crazy week of congressional activity where we're going to see all kinds of wildness?
I think it's only modestly damaging to Trump personally. I think he is all about his mind-losing base. And I think the people that he's down to right now who are strongly with him agree with the nonsense he said to the Georgia Secretary of State, are glad he said it, and it doesn't have that much personal effect on his political standing. It probably does, however, make it harder for these Republicans in Congress to go forward much more strongly with this dog and pony sore loser fal-de-rol that they're getting ready to do a Wednesday. And it cannot possibly help, I wouldn't think, the Georgia Senate races. So I think he did a little harm to himself, perhaps more broadly, in terms of these two big events this week, the Georgia runoffs and then the certification by the Congress of the Electoral College vote on Wednesday.
So we see Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says he's not going to challenge the Electoral College results when they come to Congress. We see Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, two other U.S. senators say they're going to. Mike Pence is going to be presiding over this procession, we should say. I'm going to throw out a theory here. I think Mike Pence has the trickiest part to play in all of this. What's your take on winners, losers, and how some of this may shake out with some of the players that are going to be on the stage?
Well, I think there is a Trump base pandering path forward for Republicans who have presidential aspirations. And I think Cruz and the Missouri guy, who's from Arkansas, no, he's not from Arkansas, I'm the Missouri guy, Hawley, I think they're splitting that. And I think I'm not accusing Tom Cotton of making a purely politically tactical decision. I have seen occasional glimpses of principle in him, and this is perhaps that time. But I do think Tom Cotton's putting out the statement last night that really this is no way to go forward, that we're taking that Congress must not rest or attempt to rest the people's power. We can't do that. I think he believes that, but I also think there may be some political advantage for him. It may not be so that to be the Republican standard bearer after Trump means you have to be like Trump. You need to be harshly conservative. You need to be populist, but you needn't be wacky or nuts. And I think Cotton is sort of going for the harsh but sane conservative path forward, sort of the Wall Street Journal editorial page. You can't get a lot more conservative economically, on defense, culturally. But they've been saying Trump is silly about this election and this election protest. I think Cotton may find some path. Pence is just, well, I wanted to say Pence is Vince is in a pickle, and I don't know what he does other than the right thing.
We'll see. It will be interesting to see.
You may have to default to that, you know, just the right thing.
So this is obviously perceived as some pretty horrible behavior on behalf of the president. If you've listened to the tapes, you're just appalled for the most part at what you've heard in terms of the coercion that's out there. There are a lot of people that think it will get worse before January 20th, that we may see an escalation of a war overseas, that we may see some sort of, potential martial law in the nation's capital if this, this group that's been encouraged to come descend upon Washington later this week occurs. All of this to potentially stall the inauguration, to give Trump more leverage to stay in here. Do you think it will get worse before it gets better?
I fear that. I don't want to think it. I don't want to predict it. But this is getting pretty wild. If you listen to this man on the phone yesterday, he's scary. And if he's doing this 2 weeks out, and after that doesn't work, when he can't sell this brave Georgia Republican Secretary of State on doing his bidding, if he can't use that business trained bullying and salesmanship and power of deal making, if he can't get that to work, if he can't get the thing in the Congress to work, if he's not going to be president, if things aren't going his way, and it drove him last Saturday, the prospect of that, to that kind of call, it is alarming to think what it may drive him to in the next 2 weeks. America's best hope is that we can get there safely, frankly, because there's really only one. I don't care if Trump gets charged with a crime. Not being president is going to be and having his ego damaged is going to be his living hell anyway. But he's got to be gone. What we need with Trump is for him to be gone. And I'm just, if I could hold my breath that long, that's what I'd do. But in sort of a metaphorical way, that's what the country's going to be doing for the next couple of weeks.
All right, let's go home. You have written a great story for Talk Business. It is out on our website at talkbusiness.net today, previewing the dynamics of the 93rd General Assembly. You've got Governor Asa Hutchinson going into his final regular legislative session, new leadership in the Arkansas Senate that might be a little bit more independent of the governor's office than we've seen in the past. Kind of set the stage for what you've written about for us.
Well, the article, the lead is that the conservative insurgent, Republican insurgent of the 1980s, whose right-wing extremism I feared in the 1980s, is in this legislative session going to be manning what passes for the left flank of Arkansas legislative politics. Simply true. Turns out Asa was never as frightful as I first thought. Turns out the state has moved so far to the right and the legislature has been moved so far to the right by the Tea Party, by Trumpians, and by reaction to healthcare and Obama, and over, you know, what's happened over the years. And it took a pronounced step even further to the extreme right in the recent elections. Asa is left as the one who's going to have to fight for his powers under this worsening pandemic. He's going to have to defend those against right-wing legislators who don't want him to have this kind of power at all. He's proposing a hate crimes law for Arkansas to be the 48th state to have one. And you've got the extreme right consolidating itself on the Senate Judiciary Committee to stop it. Budgets, taxes. Asa's center-right pragmatic course passes for the left flank. And so that's the stage that I'm setting. Beyond that, briefly, Asa's had the legislature pretty much his way for all these years as governor, helped in the Senate in some measure by the fact that his nephew, Jim Hendren, was the president pro tem of the Senate. there was a little bit of an uprising against Hendren that has resulted in a more independent-minded, hard-to-read new Senate leader, Jimmy Hickey of Texarkana, who has come to believe in his near decade now in the Senate that the Senate and the Senate's institutional role, the governor proposes, the Senate disposes, and that he thinks there's not been enough scrutiny given to all measure of things by the Senate. And it's time for the Senate to mature. It's sort of grown under the reformed, relaxed term limits, and assert itself more and be more deliberative. So you put the philosophical change, the move to the right, Asa Manning, what passes for the left, with a Senate where he no longer has it greased for him at all. This, and then you add the complication of the COVID problem, redistricting, redistricting. All of that means this is going to be a different dynamic than we've seen. And then you put all that at the legislature in the Capitol, with people running around with masks and isolated. Are we all going to be trying to watch it by streaming? This one's one for the, perhaps one for the ages, certainly one notable for a new dynamic in modern times.
So last question front, if we've got the mainstream Republicans, some further right Republicans, what's the role for Democrats in this session? They're in a super minority.
Just do the best they can. Try to have a little influence now and then. I remember Clark Tucker. I asked him once when he was in the House, "What do you do when you really have no effective power and you get blocked on everything?" He said he found solace and comfort and a point to his political existence in identifying things he could make a difference on. And I think that can still happen for Democrats. There's still a chance to do that, to have a right issue, to have command of it, and push that while the rest of the madness takes place around you. More specifically, the House Judiciary Committee, I think 9 Democrats got themselves on there. That's not a majority, but that's enough to combine with a couple of Republicans whom the governor might influence to advance this hate crimes bill out of the House. Maybe. And then see what kind of showdown or thing that could be worked out between the two in some sort of conference or whatever. So there's a place to, it's small, it's targeted, but there's still some things for Democrats to do. Not big things necessarily, but not necessarily unimportant things.
John Brummett is a political writer for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. He talked with Roby Brock. Roby is with our partner, Talk Business and Politics. Their conversations can be found at talkbusiness.net. You can find John Brummett's columns at arkansasonline.com. And that article that Brummett wrote that was mentioned during that conversation can also be found at talkbusiness.net. Earlier this hour, we mentioned the virus numbers for Arkansas. The state of Oklahoma updates their latest reporting by late every weekday afternoon. And today, the state of Oklahoma reporting 19 additional deaths for the state from the virus. That means there have now been 2,571 Oklahoma deaths since the pandemic began from COVID-19. Oklahoma's 7-day rolling average for new cases now at 3,498. This is Ozarks at Large.